Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In Christ Jesus, who with the Father sent the Holy Spirit to us, creating us into be his church of believers, dear fellow redeemed. It was not a very good day for the Apostle Paul, although it started out really well. The Apostle Paul and Silas were walking the streets of Philippi, proclaiming the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. For several days, they'd been followed by a servant, a slave girl, who was demon-possessed and given the ability to divine the future. She was following Paul and Silas, and she was crying out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." This greatly annoyed Paul, because it was an evil spirit saying these words, and she was distracting from the preaching and proclamation they were giving. So Paul turned and faced her and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And the evil spirit came out of her that very same hour. She was set free. She no longer was possessed by this evil spirit. What joy and rejoicing. The day began great. But not everybody rejoiced. Those who owned that slave girl now realized they lost their prophet. She no longer was able to divine the future. So they grabbed Paul and Silas, hauled them before the magistrates, and said, "These two men are teaching and preaching things that are wrong for us in Rome to think about, to hear, and believe." The magistrates stripped them, whipped them, threw them in prison, into the inner prison, and chained them with chains to the wall. What started out to be such a promising day has now turned out pretty bad. But it ended, the day ended really, really well. You remember the story, right? That evening, Paul and Silas are sitting there, backs whipped and bleeding, chained to the wall, and they're singing hymns and saying prayers of thanksgiving to God. And suddenly there's a powerful earthquake. The whole jail shakes, the doors spring open, the chains fall from the walls, and the jailer, who is sleeping, wakes up. He sees the doors all open, assumes all the prisoners escaped, pulls out his sword, is ready to commit suicide to save his family the embarrassment of having him hauled before the council and executed. And Paul cries out, "Don't do yourself any harm. We're still here." The jailer comes in, throws himself on the ground, and says and asks the question to Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" What was the answer given by Paul? "Keep the commandments. Pray 7 times facing Jerusalem. Obey and keep all the Old Testament requirements and regulations." No. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Faith, belief, reliance, trust, all those words mean the same thing. We need to trust in what Jesus did for us, earning our forgiveness, our salvation, or it'll all be in vain. The eternal life that Jesus won for us would be lost. The salvation gained for us would be useless, not enjoyed, if we don't have faith to believe it. However, what does Martin Luther say in his explanation to the third article we're studying this morning? He says, "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him." Simply put, Martin Luther saying, "I believe I cannot believe by myself." Does that sound reasonable? Not to the mind of our reason, it doesn't. But it is what God's word says. After the jailer was told that faith in Jesus saves, he took Paul and Silas to his home, bandaged up their wounds, and we're told They, Paul and Silas, spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his home, in his house, and he and all his family were baptized. Before the earthquake, this jailer was dead, spiritually dead in his trespasses and sins. He was an enemy of God. He was spiritually blind. He could not say that Jesus was his Lord and his Savior. And that's the same way it is for every single unbeliever today and will be forever. By nature, we're all spiritually blind. Live in the spiritual darkness of unbelief. Dead in our sins. With no goodness on our part. Enemies of God, hating God because our natural man sees only his righteousness, his holiness, and his commands to do this, be perfect, or else you're going to hell. Because of this natural condition, all people, no one can come to Jesus or cling to him by themselves. No one can make the decision for Christ by their own reason or their own strength. For not only have we all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but our natural hearts and minds are in unbelief, spiritually dead. Why and how are we so sure of this? Because God's word tells us that. Listen to this passage. No one can say that Jesus is Lord, my Lord and Savior. No one can say that except by or through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit uses that good news of salvation, gives us the ability, the heart knowledge, to be able to say, I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. It was the Holy Spirit who created that faith in that jailer of Philippi and in all of his family that evening. The Holy Spirit created faith in your heart and in my heart. Martin Luther states that in the meaning of the third article, he writes, the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in true faith. So who is this Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. We call him the third person of God. But as you know, that doesn't mean that he's last, or that he's inferior or less important than the Father or the Son. For every person of God, none is greater or before or more powerful than the other. The three persons are co-equal, co-eternal. In fact, in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, in the first two verses of the Bible, we see that the Spirit is eternal. We read in Genesis 1:1-2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Spirit was imparting life to the things that would be created. When God said, let there be, life sprang forth through the power of the Spirit. Job declares, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. In Hebrews, we're told that the Holy Spirit is the eternal Spirit, just like the Father and the Son. When Peter confronted Ananias with his sin of hypocrisy, he said to him, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You've not lied to men. You've lied to God. The Holy Spirit is the same the divine attributes as the Father and as the Son. In Psalm 139, we're told the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, meaning present everywhere. We read, where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the place of the grave, the dead, behold, you are there. And Paul tells us the Holy Spirit is also omniscient. We read in 1 Corinthians 2, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And Jesus commands us to baptize in the Spirit's name. Baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul in the New Testament gives us the New Testament benediction. And he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Last Sunday, in the second article, we learned all about what Jesus did for us. How he redeemed us. That word again means to buy us back from sin, death, Satan, and hell. Jesus, through his perfect life of obedience and his death upon the cross, earned for us forgiveness. We have his righteousness, sins forgiven, and God looks at us in Christ as being perfect and righteous. But had the Holy Spirit not been sent into this world to create faith in our hearts to believe this, everything Jesus did for us would be useless. It wouldn't help us any if we didn't believe it, if we didn't know it, if the Holy Spirit hadn't created faith in our hearts to trust it. We call the work of the Holy Spirit sanctification. That means to be set apart for a holy purpose or to make holy. The Holy Spirit has set us apart from the rest of this unbelieving world, and he's made us God's children through faith in Jesus. Paul tells us, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. What does the Holy Spirit use to create faith in your heart and mind? The simple word. The simple good news of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Again, Paul says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, we're told that Peter on Pentecost proclaimed the word of God, both law and gospel. The hearts of the people were convicted, and 3,000 were brought to faith in Jesus. In Acts 8, we're told of Philip, who met with that Ethiopian eunuch, riding a chariot. He proclaimed him the word of God, and he believed and was baptized. Here we hear of the jailer in Philippi, who heard the word of God together with his family, and they were brought to faith in Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And over and over and over again throughout the Bible, we hear the word of God being proclaimed, the gospel message proclaimed, and faith created in the hearts of the hearers. As you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't just zap people like a bolt of lightning, causing them to believe in Jesus. He uses this means, the powerful means of grace, the gospel in the word, and the gospel in the sacraments. The gospel spoken and written. Use the word in connection with the water of baptism. Use the word in connection with the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. But it must be there. Without the word of God, without the gospel, the Holy Spirit cannot do his work. He cannot create faith in the hearts of people. A flower cannot grow unless the seed or the bulb is planted in the ground. So also, faith won't sprout in the heart of a person unless the seed of the word is planted in the heart. This planting and this bringing forth growth, the Holy Spirit does. So the preaching, teaching, reading, singing, and hearing of the word of God. Again, Luther puts in his explanation, in the same way, he, the Holy Spirit, calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth. The Holy Spirit has separated us from sinful, unbelieving lifestyles. The Holy Spirit has set us apart from others who don't believe in Jesus. And we're separated for a purpose, for a very important reason. The Lord declares, Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? We've been washed clean by Christ's shed blood. We've been declared righteous alone through Christ's perfection. Why would we want to walk again in the paths of wickedness and sin and lawlessness and immorality and disobedience? We've been brought out of the darkness of unbelief into the light of Christ. We've seen Jesus Christ with eyes of faith. Why would we want to again walk in the darkness of debauchery, lust, indecency, and sin? Again, Paul tells us, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Holy Spirit not only plants that seed of faith into our heart so it grows, but he continually waters it day after day, week after week, Sunday after Sunday with the Word of God, so that our faith grows and brings forth fruits, fruits of faith and love for Jesus. Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meaning patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As Christians, walking in the Spirit means we'll bring forth fruits of the Spirit. We will be different from the rest of the world and not be ashamed of it. In other words, when the rest party to the point of drunkenness or get involved with drugs, we will not want to join in. When the rest misuse God's name and curse and swear, we will keep God's name pure and holy in our mouths. When the rest get angry and fight with each other and get upset, we will pray for patience and peace. When the rest lie, cheat, and steal, get ahead, we will pray for contentment with what we have. When the rest follow the broad road to indecency, immorality, pornography, and debauchery, we'll be careful about what we watch, what we read, how we dress, how we act, and who we are friends with. When the rest boast about themselves and their works, we'll be led to humbly boast and glory in the Lord. When the rest hoard for themselves gifts and things and don't share with others, we'll be led to be gracious with others, and generous in our gifts, sharing what the Lord has graciously given to us. We can and will do all these things because the Holy Spirit works in our hearts through his word to do this to the glory of our God. He works in our hearts to live that type of God-pleasing life. He implants in our hearts that love which moves us to sacrifice ourselves, our time, our talents, our gifts in service to others and for the spread of the gospel. The Holy Spirit prompts us to freely give of our gifts, freely give of ourselves, even as and motivated by Jesus freely giving and fully giving willingly of himself for us. But, and there's always a but, you and I know us so well that we don't always walk in the Spirit. We don't always bring forth these fruits of the Spirit. Sometimes we walk apart from the Spirit. Sometimes we walk in the flesh. Sometimes we bring forth that rotten fruit of sin and disobedience and selfishness. And that leads us to the next line in Luther's explanation of the third article. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all sins to me and all believers. Every day when we're led to see our sins and led by the Spirit to confess our sins, to repent of our sins, to seek forgiveness of our sins, the Holy Spirit comes with that good news of forgiveness. All our sins have been washed away through Jesus Christ. He points us to Jesus, which where he says, son, daughter, be of good cheer. All your sins have been forgiven you. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. One last blessing the Spirit does for us. Luther says, and keeps it, the Holy Spirit keeps it, meaning the Christian church, all believers, with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. It be that all of us who are gathered here this morning, who have the Holy Spirit strengthening and nourishing our faith through the Word, be kept in this saving faith, not just today or tomorrow, but be kept in the saving faith until that last great day when Jesus appears on Judgment Day and says to you and to me and all believers, come, come, blessed my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's rise and join together in reading the third article and the meaning found in your bulletin this morning. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give to me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true.